Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everybody, to Tapes and Scouts. We have a special episode for you.
Whoa.
It's special.
That's crazy. There's another person down here.
Yeah. It's Rich.
Wow. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Rich.
Hello.
Rich has been on the podcast before, but not on Tapes and Scouts, and you might be our super fan.
Might be.
You might be, so.
I listen every week.
Yeah.
That definitely is. That's it. That's the only metric you need to hit.
There it is.
You're the only one.
You did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tim told me you existed. I didn't believe him.
Yeah. I had to bring him here.
You did.
Here he is.
He looks slightly whipped, I must say.
Well,
you know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Now I'm like...
I'm not going to argue.
Now I'm like, can I put that episode up after this one so that joke is funny to me, but it makes...
I don't know.
Out of context is fine.
That's right. Yeah. We have to create another super fan.
That's right. By whipping. It's a Rich-isode.
Whoa.
It's kind of like a Cliffsmas, but different. Rich has picked all our movies for us, and we have watched them, and there's like loosely a theme. Tell me what the theme is.
The theme is basically it just ended up being movies where when I bring them up, everyone looks at me like that movie doesn't exist.
I like it.
What movie? That's what? You made that up.
That guy wasn't in that thing. You're thinking of something else.
I'm pretty sure you're just wrong.
Yeah.
I like it.
You'll actually be getting six movies on this one, which
Holy
is super exciting.
Lee cow.
So I don't know. What order do you think, Max?
I think Rich should pick.
Rich, what do you want? You want to take us home at the end? You want to, what are you thinking? Power is yours.
We'll go around this. I'll go first.
Okay. Oh yes, I like that.
All right, you got it.
Do the thing.
Just to kind of get it out of the way.
All right.
So my first movie is Man of Tai Chi. Ooh. So it was made in 2013, directed by Keanu Reeves.
I've heard of him.
That guy.
He's a guy that does things.
I like it.
I heard he's pretty nice.
All I've heard.
Yeah, that's good.
I watched it on April 20th of 2021. It is running time of 1 hour, 45 minutes, and the genre is martial arts.
Martial.
So the main cast in it is Tiger Hu Chen, Keanu Reeves, and Karen Mok. I've never heard of Tiger Chen before, but dude's amazing.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So the IMDb movie summary is, young martial artist's unparalleled Tai Chi skills land him in a highly lucrative underworld fight club.
Yes. I like it.
I wonder if he's just actually a Tai Chi like champion or something, if we've never heard of him.
I don't know. It could be.
Will you whip some ass on this movie? I sure will.
Yeah.
I sure will.
Yeah. I got this. So my bullet points are just... outstanding action. Like the very first fight scene when like they kind of start, because there's a couple meetings and stuff where you're not quite sure what's going to happen, and then once like the fight starts, it just comes at you like a freight train. It's just like a blistering pace, like right off the bat. Like all the fight scenes are, you know, nice and thematic, like a standard, you know, top-notch kung fu flick.
Nice.
And kind of like watching him kind of like teeter-totter between like his more violent side, his more peaceful side, is a fun back and forth throughout the whole movie.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like that. I like that there's always like kind of a spirituality kind of side to the martial arts stuff,
yeah,
which is really cool.
Agreed.
And then Keanu Reeves as a rare turn as a bad guy.
Yeah,
don't really ever see him be the bad guy, but he's pretty good.
That's awesome.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I can't think either.
Can I be the bad guy? No, Mr. Reeves. Fuck it. I'm directing my own movie so I can be the goddamn bad guy.
Yeah, seems that way.
Did he just curse? He never curses.
Oh my God. What have we done to Keanu Reeves?
That's 10 Hail Marys.
So we have the 134 critics came in for the IMDb, giving it a 6.1 out of 10.
Okay.
The 68 critics on Rotten Tomatoes brought it up to a 71%. Mm. And 10,000 audience members put it at a 50%. Mm. I think they're a bit rough on it. Because I think just the action alone. I was thinking maybe I was going to come in at a 6. But just the fact that I would recommend this to anybody who likes fight movies, I'm leaning more towards a 6.5, just out of the recommendability.
Nice.
Love it.
Awesome.
Nice. Will this be a podcast of 6.5s?
Ooh.
Maybe.
Maybe.
The Rich-isode. These are slightly better than average movies.
That's right.
I like it.
Let's hope.
That's the hope. So I am next.
Go for it.
I did a film that Rich told me to do. It's from 2013, and it is called Coherence.
Coherence?
I watched it on January 8th of 2022.
Whoa.
It is 1 hour and 29 minutes long. It is a thriller directed by James Ward Brickett? There's a Y in there. It's just throwing me off, James Ward. Starring Emily Baldoni, Nicholas Brendan, and Maury Sterling. The summary for this film is eight friends at a dinner party. This summary sucks. Eight friends at a dinner party experience a troubling chain of events due to the malevolent influence of a passing comet.
Okay.
So basically the movie is about the concept, the quantum like physics concept of decoherence, wherein there are like multiple congruent or concurrent timelines. Mm-hmm. And at this point, this comet creates a point where the timelines all intersect, or the different realities all intersect. So it's like all these things happening. And then this group of friends slowly start to realize that they can like enter and exit at a certain point and come out in a different reality.
Hmm. Okay.
So it kind of has like sort of disastrous consequences, but kind of not. It's really interesting. So this movie does a whole lot right, but it kind of buries it under some pretty critical issues that I had problems with this movie. Overall, I think it was a successful film. I think he did a good job. It's worth noting that he made this movie for $50,000.
What?
Yeah. So it was a super low budget film.
That's like 50 Manborgs.
It's, yeah. It's, yeah, 50 Manborgs. It is not 50 Manborgs good, though.
Fair.
It is really well handled. And in terms of concept, it's really well handled. It's a cool idea. The execution with the budget was really smart. I think that they handled all that really well. I think this movie flounders under a little bit of too much ambition, despite the budget. Eight main characters is a lot.
Oh, yeah.
The director is also the writer. And I think he just had a lot of trouble balancing so many characters. I feel like this movie would have been better with maybe like two or three less. But there's just like, there's one character who's like asleep the whole time. Well, not the whole time, but like for the first third of the movie, she's asleep and then she wakes up and comes out. Two characters don't leave the house. So they're like trying to work through the concept. They find an object and then they need a book. It's like really simple storyline, but, and you need to pay attention to everything because things change depending on who's doing what. Like certain people's cell phones are broken or have an issue, and later in the movie they don't. So it's like, wait a second, you went outside. Did you walk through the point where you switch realities? Are you the you from this reality, or are you a you from another reality?
Oh man.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like it's a really fun movie to talk about, and the concept's awesome.
Well, did they have an eye patch?
No eye patches.
Oh, well then.
But
they're...
there was Band-Aids and specific Ooh. Types of Band-Aids.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's pretty neat. The characters, some of the characters are really good. The idea is awesome. And the sub-theme with the main character, who's Emily Baldoni's character, is this concept of she's like a, she had an opportunity, she's a dancer, and she had an opportunity to land an understudy role that would end up launching her career because the person who was the main dancer ended up pulling out. And so like, they have like a conversation where she's kind of like, you can tell like, she's like, no, she's really good, she deserves it, and she's trying to be like, you know what I mean, kind of congenial about it, but it really like, you can tell it like kind of irks her deeply that right. She wasn't there for that. And this concept of she's like, you know what, I'm going to find the reality where in fact I did take that understudy role and I'm going to replace that version of myself.
Bum, bum, bum.
So yeah, it's a cool little piece of business. The things that kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, like I said, too many characters, fully fleshing out the idea. They do a nice job. There's just a little bit of like, wait a second, or like, hang on. You know what I mean? That I was experiencing during the movie that just kind of got lost. Like they were introducing so much that certain little pieces kind of got left behind. Nothing crazy, but just a few little things. The camera work in this movie is atrocious. It is, I'm pretty sure they knew what end of the camera to point at the people, and that is where their expertise with camera ends. There are shots that are just straight up out of focus. It is bad. Like, I mean, you get what you pay for. And I mean, like, I don't know if he was also like, I mean, he was just paying people he knew or working the camera himself while he was going. And just like, it's very frenetic for some reason. Like there's a ton of movement and they're just talking, they're having a conversation. Like if he just sat the camera on a tripod and just let the scenes play out, it would be awesome. Cause there's so much going on, but he like gets in your face and he's like, it's like, what is this Taken? Like, what are you doing with the camera? Like, you don't need to do that for like this weird snappy handheld close up. That's like pseudo out of focus. It's like, I understand. And if he did that as the movie became more jarring and he took the camera and moved it to make it feel more jarring and confusing, I could see that. But he does it right from the jump. Mm. The movie's not like, it's never like steady and even and then becomes off kilter. It's just like, he's just like, is this a camera? Is this how you hold it? Look at this guy. He's talking about him. It's like, whoa. All right.
I just want everybody to appreciate the physical reenactment Max did on this podcast.
If you hold your hands out about shoulder wide and then jiggle them a lot and kind of tilt tilt your head, you about got an approximation.
Max was taken in that.
Yeah, it was interesting. But yeah, you could tell it was on a budget. The lighting wasn't the best. The color treatment at the end of the movie wasn't the best. But it was really ambitious. And I think he did a successful job of telling the story he wanted to tell. So really impressive job with $50,000.
Nice.
Yeah, hard to complain. IMDb gives it a 7.2 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 91 of them gave it 88%.
Wow.
Yeah. Audience, 5,000 plus, 81%.
Whoa, these are all huge numbers.
Huge numbers. Yeah. I am the curmudgeon here, and I'm coming in at a 6 out of 10 for this one.
Nice.
So it is certainly worth watching, especially if you're into like this like quantum mechanics and quantum physics concept. Like if you like Prince of Darkness and you're like, man, I need more of this in my life, this is a cool movie to watch.
Nice.
Just go in. If you're like sensitive to moving images, just beware, because boy, oh boy, this camera don't stop.
Does this need like a remake? Does he need like a redo?
I don't necessarily think so. I think he tells the story pretty effectively. I just would love to see it, the version where the camera wasn't like being shaken violently throughout the movie. But yeah, like the concept overall, and it's really impressive for like an early attempt for somebody trying to prove themselves out with a feature. Like, awesome job.
Nice. Well, I got a movie.
Do you?
Rich made me watch it.
Ooh.
Gun to his head.
Gun to my head. He said, you're going to do it. And I was like, my eyes are closed. He's like, I got tape. Hi, Cliff. I'm saying hi to Cliff because Cliff has demanded we watch this movie for so incredibly long. And the Rich episode got delayed for so incredibly long that this movie never got watched.
Wow.
So we're doing Ink, Cliff. You wanted me to do Ink. Ink is finally happening.
It's happening.
Finally.
I like it.
It is a little weird to know that you like this movie and that Cliff loves this movie. I'm like, oh, okay. I hope I love this movie.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. It's fine. I don't mind making everybody angry.
No pressure.
I'm going to brandish my loaded weapon over here. Just keep going.
No whipping. 2009. I watched it about a week ago. I didn't write it down. It's an hour 47 action drama fantasy. It is directed by Jamin Winans, if my handwriting is to believe.
You losins with that handwriting.
I tell you, man. It's awful. Hi-yo. Starring Christopher Soren Kelly, Quinn Hucknar, and Jessica Duffy.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Jessica. Patrick Duffy's daughter.
That's not true.
I don't know. Could be.
Ooh, that's true.
Yeah, no, we're going to find out. Nobody thought Patrick Duffy was coming up. IMDb movie summary. A mysterious creature, known as Ink, steals a child's soul in hopes of using it as a bargaining chip to join the Incubi, a group of supernatural beings responsible for creating nightmares. Have you seen this, Max?
No.
This is a weird movie.
I've heard Cliff talk about it, though.
Yeah, this movie is very just strange. Visually, it's awesome. It's just very weird. And it was funny because I probably got about 20 minutes in, and it's where Ink kind of first shows up. My wife walks in, and my wife was like exhausted. Like, I need to go to bed. It's like 10 o'clock or something. She's like, I'm so tired, I gotta go to bed. But she sat down, she started watching this. She got mad that she couldn't stay awake to watch this movie because it was interesting her so much.
Wow.
So she's gonna have to go back and do it. She's like, what is this on? I need to. So I was like, all right. This is just Parkour the movie, really. This is like Parkour before Parkour was super cool.
Oh, that's cool.
It is like Parkour and the Matrix had a baby, and then like Jim Henson made it look cool, is how I feel this is.
That's interesting.
It's pretty accurate.
Yeah, because everybody looks weird and creepy and spooky, and the Incubi people, some of them have like TV faces that like glitch, and it's like you see like their eyes light up. It just, the visuals are super cool.
That is cool.
They are terrifying, and you're like, what are these people trying to accomplish? And it's like, there's dreams, there's nightmares, they're interacting with the human world. What to what end? There's your main character is like this white collar kind of guy, and you're following him, and it's his daughter that ends up getting taken, and you're just like, what is going on? Why does this matter? You see him get in a car accident like from jump, and you're like, all right, is he dead? I assume he's dead. And then like you follow him, and it's very strange going back and forth, and it eventually makes sense. But what a weird movie.
Yeah, wow.
But it's so much fun. Like, you don't even care because you're just like, I just want to see some weird visuals. I just want to see some crazy stuff happen. I guess because Parkour is a little more normal nowadays.
Right.
I guess it didn't, like, grab me like it would have had I watched it in 2009.
Sure.
But it's really fun, and it does have that Jim Henson feel. It does feel like fantasy, which we don't get enough fantasy anymore.
Agreed.
Outside of somebody making something based on an actual book.
Yeah.
You don't get fantasy, kind of modern fantasy at that, where like the little girl, is she in our world, is she in his world, she can't really interact with people, there's only a handful of people that can try to save her, you're going on this whole thing, the Incubi are terrifying. It's pretty fun.
That's awesome.
I enjoyed it. So Cliff, Get ready, Cliff. Here come the scores. IMDb gave it the second best score you could possibly give a movie.
Nice.
A 6.9.
I like it.
Knife puppy snoring.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomato critics. 6 of them. 100%.
Oh.
Always a good questionable score.
That's right.
The audience, 5,000 plus, gave it 81%. So nice. We're going some good numbers here.
Absolutely.
Rich, what do you think I gave it?
I'm going to say...
You're the super fan. You should be able to guess what I would give it. Come on.
I'm going to say
7.5.
Wow, I really liked it.
It was a clever kind of story. It was super interesting to look at. I mean, I hurt my eyes a little bit, but I'm old with bad vision. And I just enjoyed it. I was having fun.
I like that kind of world building style. Yeah. We just don't get that unless it's, like you said, based on an IP that already exists.
It's the only time we really see it. And I definitely want more high fantasy, especially modern kind of fantasy.
That's cool.
It does that real cool. It's probably a simple camera trick, but they do that real cool thing where, like, as they're having the fight scenes, they crash into a wall. And as they roll away from it, the wall fixes itself.
Right. So certain things like that will happen.
So they're impacting with, like, a version of reality. So, like, as they're fighting, they'll smash through a table. And as the fight moves away from the table pieces itself back together again.
That was really cool. That was one of the early fight scenes where Ink shows up to grab the girl.
Oh, that's fine.
And, like, all these people are like, oh, no, it's him. Like, you realize he's tough. So, like, a billion of these people go to fight him. And, like, he goes through the table off the stairs and it forms back around him. And, like,
it has to be a real simple camera trick, but it creates such a cool.
They're actually breaking it and just reversing it, I guess.
That's really awesome. Sounds fun.
What you got, Rich?
All right. So, out of luck of the draw, this is a little bit more, I guess, known than the rest of the ones in this.
Never heard of it.
In this smattering. But I watched 2011's Looper.
Looper. I love this movie.
So, I watched this on 12/20/21. I did not write down IMDb minutes. I'm going to say it's 69 hours and 69 minutes.
Perfect. The best runtime.
Well, you broke the podcast with that.
Second best runtime possible.
This is directed by the conversation starting gentleman himself, Ryan Johnson, starring Bruce Willis, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Emily Blunt. IMDb movie summary went on for a while, so I kind of just stopped writing halfway through.
Oh, yeah, they're fun.
In a future society, time travel exists, but it's only available to those with the means to pay for it and on the black market. When the mob wants to eliminate someone, it sends the target to the past where a hitman known as a Looper lies in wait to finish the job. And I just stopped there because I just got tired of writing. It was enough.
So then this guy does it, and then he's kind of thinking this, but then he's a little hungry.
And then Joe, exclamation, like little bracket, says Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And then his name is long. I don't feel like writing that 15 times.
Yeah. Yep.
Great actor, though.
Oh, yeah.
So my bullet points for this are, it is a strong, really cool concept.
It is.
Yeah.
I like pretty much everybody in it. You know, subsequent watches, there's some, you know, because I went back to watch it for this. It's probably like the third or fourth time I've seen it. So you kind of notice a couple of things. But with time travel movies, you kind of just have to just, like, that's fine. Certain things have to just be sacrificed to aid the concept. Right. It's a fun watch. I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the whole thing where he has to put the makeup on to play like a young Bruce Willis, you get over that pretty quick because he's an engaging actor. Like, that guy's just pretty much great.
He's got the mannerisms down pretty good too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's really good. And then when it kind of starts interjecting Emily Blunt into the story, I think that's probably the part where I like it the most. I kind of like when it kind of starts humanizing a couple people, because it gets past, there's a lot of montage-y kind of stuff, because there's a lot of concepts that kind of have to, like, kind of hit you in the face for a little bit.
And there's, like, what, a little toy turtle booty call, right? Is it a turtle or is it a frog? The little light up frog that he gives her.
Oh, yeah.
That's just, she tells him to kind of, like, there's an emergency, you can come in the house, and she uses it for a booty call.
All right.
Yeah.
Get
toy frog.
On the farm.
That's right.
And there's some cool body horror-y stuff that kind of happens, which I think is a really clever use of.
Oh, my gosh, that
just
scene.
Just the concept in general. Yeah.
Damaging.
Yes.
Climbing a fence. Oh, my gosh.
Never has it made me feel so bad as a person as watching that scene kind of go back, because he's doomed.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, all in all, I think it's a strong movie. So the IMDb scoring at 613 critics, which seem low. I don't know if I'm looking at the right spot, but gave it a 7.4. Rotten Tomatoes, the critics gave it a 93%.
Nice.
And the audience of 100,000 plus gave it an 82%. I came in at an 8. So parts of it I wanted to go higher. Parts of it I kind of wanted to go a little bit lower. But I feel like 8, because that's another one where, like, I'd recommend it to people. Like, hey, you know, you want to watch a fun sci-fi movie. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, hop in on this.
Yeah. I'm surprised the critic numbers were so high. That's awesome.
It's an awesome movie.
It is a cool movie. I haven't seen it.
I know he went to... past the idea, like the time travel idea, I guess he knew, I mean, I guess when you're a director, at this point, he was pretty high point of his career, still is high point of his career. But he was like, I threw this up against a couple scientists who look into like theoretical physics and stuff. And he was like, would this concept of time travel work? They're like, no, you're an idiot. And he was just like, okay, whatever. I'm just not going to explain it then. Yeah. And they even get like, that's why they did the scene in the diner where they're talking. And he's like, don't bother discussing it. Yeah. We're going to be sitting here with spoons and straws and it's not going to make any sense. And he's like, I don't care. I'm just going to write around it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yep. He's just that's good.
And it's nice watching a movie where Bruce Willis kind of gives half of a shit.
Yes.
Because we're in Bruce Willis just getting the paycheck era.
Oh, my goodness.
So kind of watching some of these older movies or something just where he wants to like actually sink his teeth into it, even a little bit. Because his arc in it is interesting.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, like watching what his version of logic is versus, you know, what the younger version. I think it's two very cool, reasonably divergent paths. Like they both are just doing the thing that they didn't think they need to do. And it's good.
Yeah, I agree. That's awesome. Nice. And you got awesome Jeff Daniels in this movie.
Yes.
He's awesome in this movie.
Yeah. Him as a crime lord. Because there's a couple things that came up. There was like a mini series on Netflix where he was a bad guy too. He's just, he can capture a scene when he gets kind of like menacing. Like something about it. Just, man.
He's really good at it.
He's intense.
I love that. Go to China. I'm going to go to France. I'm from the future. Go to China. I love that. It's so good. There, you should watch it if you get a chance. It's really good. I know it's tough when we do it on the show because it's just like, damn, I can't watch that. So I got a movie that Rich made me watch too.
Hey, did he make you watch another one?
He did. He made me watch too. He told me that was the rules.
Oh, yeah. Lied.
But he just told me. He was very casual and polite about it. So I couldn't not do it. This movie's from 2015. It is called Deathgasm.
Oh, I just had one.
Oh. Well, it's got the perfect runtime, so get ready because it's 1 hour and 30 minutes.
That's not 69.69.
No, that's the second best you said.
Oh, right.
It is a horror comedy. It's directed by Jason Lee Howden, starring Milo Cawthorn, Kimberly Crossman, and Sam Berkeley. The movie summary, again, not very good. Two teenage boys unwittingly summon an ancient evil entity known as the Blind One by delving into black magic while trying to escape their dull lives.
Oh, man, I hate it when life's so dull. You just need some black blood magic kind
of
going on.
Yeah, it's a really kind of meh description of the movie, but it's basically these metalheads. They also have a buddy, and they play D&D and everything.
Sure.
And they're just trying to, you know what I mean, do their thing. He has a crush that's like a super normal girl, and they end up summoning said blind one. And it's pretty neat little take on like how the blind one like turns people into like demon zombie kind of things, but they're all blind. So it's a pretty cool little concept. Like their eyes are like very obviously gone and burned out. It's really neat. The effects in this are awesome. Some great practical makeup effects. It's a ton of fun. And what really strikes me is you can tell that the filmmakers and the writers really like grew up doing this. Like you can tell they're wayward metalheads and D&D guys. Like their love for it is deep. Like you can tell they have a really strong affection for it. And it reads as completely authentic. The characters do a great job of selling it. I thought all three of the main characters were totally believable. Just looks like everybody's having a blast. I mean, like girls hitting zombies and like splitting their head down the middle with axes and chainsaws and like all this cool shit from like 80s horror movies that you want to put in this movie is just a hoot. And it's all got great music because it's got metal in it. There's like Trivium posters all over the place. It's like you can tell that this is like something that they care deeply about. My only real like negative to the movie is there's kind of everything's a little bit cliche-y. Mm-hmm. Where it's just kind of like, we're going to take this very obvious storyline, change a couple little things, but it's going to play out pretty much exactly how you would guess this would play out. And it plays more of a like a wouldn't this be cool kind of thing. Like it's almost like let's write our childhood, but make this have happened in our childhood a little bit. So it's not so much like you're building a ton of character development or like really arcing. I mean, there is some definitely, but it's not. And again, it's kind of easy to like predict like, oh, this is gonna happen. I get it. But it's really even like the idea of the blind one and stuff like that, you know what I mean, is nice little subtext and a way to nod to like, you know what I mean, they've been kind of turned a blind eye on for the most part, other than the bullies who kick their asses and stuff. They do a nice job and it's really well thought out. It's just, you know what I mean, like a movie's called Deathgasm. Like if you're not going in to just have a blast and watch this movie, you kind of fucked up anyway.
Sounds right.
Yeah. So IMDb gives this a 6.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 33 of them give it 88%.
Wow.
Yeah, lots of doubles here. Audience, 1,000 plus give it 66%.
Whoa.
Yeah, lots of doubles. I'm coming in with not a double because that's not how our system works unless it's the number 5. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe zero.
Yeah.
Double 5-0. Zero. Yeah. And I cheat the system occasionally. I did give Ghostbusters a 9.9 out of 10.
That's fair.
Yeah. I gave this a 7.5 out of 10.
Nice.
This movie's rad. It's Look a ton that. Of fun. Yeah. Hey. If you just, if you're into like, I just want to see, I want to laugh. I want to get grossed out and I just want to have a blast. It's definitely high pick for you for sure.
Nice.
Tons of fun.
Nice. Look, Rich, you're doing good.
Hey, when I threaten you with weaponry and whatever, it's for your own good.
I just got a polite letter.
What?
Yeah. So it's just a polite letter. Yeah. Please watch these two films. I'd like you to consider them strongly for the episode. Like, okay, good. I'll do that.
I've known Rich a while. He knows how to talk, quote unquote.
Yeah, it's really nice letterhead. Very nice letterhead.
Really? Mm-hmm. Good font? That's good.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Bateman would be proud.
Wow. Yeah. Very cool.
That's my goal in life.
Well, Rich, there's only one movie left. It's my movie. Did you do good? Let's find out. It's Bunraku.
Of course it is.
It's Bunraku.
7 years into me trying to get you to watch this. Stinking movie.
Wow.
Yeah, you're like, did you ever see Bunraku? I'm like, what? I go, wait, does that have Ron Perlman in it? You're like, yeah. I go, I own this movie. I watched it yesterday for the first time ever.
You own this movie,
I
huh?
I own this
movie. Wow.
I popped that DVD into the computer and watched it last night.
Wow. That is staggering.
Yes.
Not surprising, but staggering.
It was a whole thing. I was like, wife, where's the DVD? Because we keep our DVDs. They're not in the cases like you do. We just have them in binders to conserve space.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, where's the binder for B? What? I need Bunraku. I don't understand what you're saying. I was like, look, you just need to.
She's These
like,
are what? Words, I promise.
Yeah. She's like, look, I know all your idiot words make sense to you, but... I watched this on January 9th, 2022.
Whoa.
2 hours, 4 minutes. This is from 2010, by the way. And the big thing, action drama thriller directed by Guy Moshi. It has a crazy cast, and it's the only reason I picked it up to begin with. I'm like, ooh, what is this movie with this cast that I've never heard of? Josh Hartnett, Demi Moore, Woody Harrelson, Ron Perlman. That's basically it.
That's
the main one. Yeah,
pretty good one.
Yeah, that's a pretty big run there.
The story of a young man who has spent his life searching for revenge, only to find himself up against a bigger challenge than he originally bargained for. Sure.
It's a generic, that's generic, so, generic.
That's
The person that wrote that didn't watch it.
No, they're just like, I bet it's about revenge.
You looked at the cover and like, ah, it's
revenge
definitely.
Movie.
Revenge. My bullet points. Action porn. And I'm here for it. I had a good time. It's just, we're going to fight occasionally. We might say lines in between, but we are going to fight.
Nice.
It's a little long, but I think it works. I feel like if they shaved like 20 minutes, this movie would have got a higher score from me.
Okay.
Because it drags a little. Not that it's bad ever. And I think it's super predictable. Like everything.
Oh.
Every character, I'm like, well, it's probably this thing that they talked about. This is probably this person. This is probably this. This is probably going to happen. Everything you think is going to happen, more or less does.
Right.
But you really don't give a shit because it's so much fun. The action is insane. Ron Perlman is essentially the woodcutter. What he is the big bad of the world. There's no guns. Guns aren't allowed in this world.
Oh, cool.
And the world looks awesome. All the buildings look cool. It's kind of like a pop-up book, comic book look. It's very strange. They reference pop-up books in it.
Well, that's what Bunraku is. That's Japanese puppet theater.
Oh,
so
neat.
It's all like background cutouts where they have like little marionette-y kind of like
kind of deal.
So that's why it looks didn't like even that. Know that.
You got two very visually interesting films.
Yes, I did. This one is so cool. And the woodcutter has 10 little henchmen below him, and you got to make your way through the 10 and get up to him and try to fight him. And
I love those like fable kind of
Josh Hartnett is basically a cowboy without guns. He just punches real hard.
Oh, cool.
And there is a samurai kind of character. I don't remember the guy's name who plays him. He has like
ganked.
He's just a one-word name.
Yeah.
Some of the top guys, like one of them was like, it was a weird pick. Like one guy was the stuntman for like Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther. He's just one of the dudes.
That's cool.
They fight on like an acrobatic net underneath like a trapeze. And I'm just like, that's a weird place to fight. That's supposed to save you. And you're going to try to murder each other on it.
That's cool.
One guy was in Trainspotting. He was Tommy, the one friend.
I know you love Trainspotting.
I love Trainspotting. I was like, whoa, it's that guy from Trainspotting.
The one with the cane.
The one with the cane. And I'm like, this guy has never done a role like this ever. He's done a lot of TV, but he's never really done a role like that. I'm like, is this that guy? And sure enough,
Wow. Yeah.
But it's just like everything's strange. Demi Moore is with Ron Perlman, not by choice. Woody Harrelson runs a bar. Like, it's all just like very generic kind of point A to point B to point C again. And but I had so much fun and I really didn't care
because
the visuals were so good. And I think there's something to this Josh Hartnett kid.
Man, he might do something.
He might be something someday. Yeah. Every Josh Hartnett movie.
There's that one scene too where he was going through the police station and the camera kept panning out and back in, and he was just punching everyone in the face.
Yeah, it's like
it was so pleasing.
He jumps onto the roof and then he fights his way down to the ground level, and it is like 5 stories.
Yeah,
and the Bunraku thing of it, the puppet show kind of thing, is so cool. Just in and out, and the timing of all of that. Like, I'm sure there was cuts and whatnot, but still, the timing of it was pretty impressive.
Somebody had to visualize that before it all began to make it work in the end, right? Like, that's crazy.
I would love to see the layouts for all this. It'd be bonkers.
That's cool. Yeah. Bonkers. That's cool. Sounds really fun.
I really think so. I gave it a decent score, but I think I would have given it a way better score had they shaved 20 minutes. I think it would have been perfect.
The poker stuff, I think it probably.
The poker stuff was fine, but you don't need all of it.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, you know. But yeah, it's so much violence, so much craziness. It's a lot of fun. And Ron Perlman has dreadlocks, which is also fun.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nicola.
That's Nicola. Cool. Yes, this movie's pretty fun. I think you'll enjoy it. Let's see. Did I hit all my notes? I think I did. Yeah, it's like a weird mix of Eastern and Western elements, but like no guns is super important.
I like that. Yeah. I like that aspect to it.
So, everybody watch this. IMDb gave it a 6.2. Rotten Tomato Critics, 23 of them, 17%.
Oh.
The audience, 2,500 plus, 49%.
Wow.
All over the place. But don't worry, Rich. I won't let you down. I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Wow.
All right.
It is real easy to figure out, but you really don't give a shit.
I like it.
You get the old Chuck Norris thumbs up in the middle of the tournament, huh?
That's right.
I like it.
Yeah. So, Rich, are you happy and thrilled with how this has turned out, this Richisode?
Yeah. Because it's nice to know that I'm not crazy.
Well, I'm no doctor.
These movies exist.
Yeah. They do exist.
Because these are all movies that I just found at random times, watching things randomly, and like, you know, Ink, we all watched one day when we were like drunk.
Right.
You know,
we found
it on Netflix at one point when we were drunk, and like, Bunraku, no one's ever heard of it. And I tell them all the time, like, oh yeah, all these people are in it. Like, shut up. All those people are actually in it. And like,
I love that I owned it, and I bought it for this same reason you said. You're like, why are all these people in this? I've never heard of it.
You are of a small amount of people that own that movie.
It's you and me.
Yeah.
I guess it's me.
Yeah, just you.
It's me.
That's cool.
It's me and maybe Demi Moore.
But yeah, I think they're all good. Like, and then Coherence, I really liked because that's a rewatch for me. Like, I watched it as soon as I finished it, I went back. I started immediately again. I'm like, okay, now that I know what the whole thing is, and like every time I watch it, I feel like the inciting event like happened like sooner and sooner because real clever like little conversation points between the characters I thought was like super fun. And then, you know, Deathgasm, like give me a death metal Evil Dead, and I'm down. I'm sitting in the seat for an hour and a half or whatever.
Absolutely.
So to take us home, Rich, the last thing you got to do, which of these is your favorite movie?
Which of those is my favorite?
Yeah, if you had to rank these 6 movies.
Whoa.
What would
you rank them?
You have to rank them.
Drop this on him now?
Yes.
Like 0 hour?
This is what I do for super fans.
Goodness.
That's
right. I would say the bottom of all of these.
Say Ink, Cliff will get mad.
totally. I'd say, unfortunately, the bottom of these 6 would probably be Looper.
Okay.
That's speaking pretty highly of these movies, so keep that in mind, people.
So Looper, then probably Deathgasm, then Looper, Deathgasm, then probably Mana Tai Chi.
Oh, man.
Then, that's tough. Bunraku is definitely the top one.
Damn.
Wow.
Take your time, because I'm going to edit this. You can take your time. I'll edit it so it's quick.
You hear that, Future Tim? That's you. That's your voice that said that.
Future Tim hates me.
He did.
It's fine.
He do. He hate you hard.
He's groaning right now.
See, Coherence would probably be number 2.
Yeah?
And then that leaves
Ink there at number 3, right?
Ink at number 3. Yeah, that's where I'm going to go. Because Bunraku, this is going to be a wild stab. So this is probably going to be like the hot take Mm-hmm. But like, I like Bunraku for the exact same reason that I like Star Wars stuff. The samurai and the gunslinger.
Sure.
That combo is so... There's so many cool little tropes in there that I don't... It doesn't matter to me how many times they reuse them. Because you can usually get like really visually amazing fight scenes out of it. And like, you know, like Josh Hartnett, he can't quick draw with the gun. So his hands are as fast.
Yeah, he punches quick.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so I think Bunraku is up there. And it, you know, visually interesting movies, I think, are... If you show me something weird, it tends to stick in my brain a little bit longer.
I like that.
So, yeah. So Ben Rogers.
I liked it when they gave Josh Hartnett some brass knuckles at one point. He kind of looked at him like, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a great idea.
That's cool. Yeah. I like it.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Rich, for this Rich-isode. We'll have to have you back next year for another Rich-isode.
Oh.
Rich-isode 2.
The sequel.
The Quickening. Or is that 3?
The Quickening's 2.
Quickening's 2?
I think the Quickening's 2.
All right, then. We're going to have to, it's a real quick episode, though. You have 5 minutes to do 6 movies. Go. All right, everybody. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.